80 years, is that possible?
I know, right?
So 80 years?
The bar actually opened just after Prohibition ended, and it's been speculated that it was open, you know, before and during Prohibition, during speakeasy times. And it's not hard to believe, given the architecture of the building. And those of you who were there in the late 80s remember the trapdoor that was outside.
The trapdoor.
On the sidewalk,
right?
How did
we forget
that? It's been since covered up. And of course, Maddie's is down the road, and where the Grizzlies is was the old hotel. So it's not hard to believe that, you know, might have been operational then. So yeah, it's been in the family ever since.
By the 80s, of course, that whole part of Market Street, essentially downtown, ended at 18th Street.
Right.
I mean, that was where the lights ended, and you would look down two blocks to 20th in the corner, and you would see the cantina, the sign, the lighted sign.
Right.
And that was really the only business on there. I mean, it was all boarded up.
Yeah.
And I also used to remember people coming from out of town. There was a lot of people coming from out of town, and they'd be staying in the hotels. And they would say, well, we don't see anything down there. Oh, well, you got to walk about two blocks. And is it safe? Can we walk down there in two blocks? And they'd say, yeah, it's okay. Just go down there. And if you don't feel safe, then somebody would take a two-block cab ride. But that was the only thing that was happening.
Yeah, all there was warehouses and industry.
Really, the heyday of El Chapultepec, when it was really at the forefront, jazz seven nights a week. You grew up there, essentially.
I did. I grew up sitting on the stand-up bar there between the men's bathroom and the piano. It's my nestled spotter, sitting on the safe behind the bar if Dad wanted me a little closer by.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking naps on the pool table. I grew up there. And my sister, she grew up there as well. You know, she was in the kitchen and she wouldn't leave Dad's side. And she was always around, too. So it's really her baby, much as it is the rest of the family's.
Your mother was there in those early years as well.
Yeah.
Alice.
She was there quite a bit. And then, you know, as Angela started running the kitchen more and more, then she started staying home with me as I was, you know, starting to need to get some sleep to get up for school in the morning.
I always remember that Chapultepec, for a lot of things, one, had an incredible jukebox.
Yeah. What? I've been lucky enough to inherit all of those albums.
You've got all that?
And boy, my husband and I play them, and we always have the windows open, and I say, I hope someone's walking by hearing this stuff, because, oh man, those are amazing albums. Like I said, we have so many of them I flip through, but it had Greg Gisbert playing, and, you know, he must have been 20 at the most, and I thought, man, he was really good even then, you know? And so it's fun to go back and listen to those jukebox albums.
Who are some of the musicians that were there the longest and that your father really, really liked a lot?
As far as the house bands
the
that
house
were there,
bands.
Well, of course, we have Freddie, and he's still playing.
Still there,
Freddie
Wednesdays
Senior,
and Thursdays.
Wednesdays and Thursdays nights, Freddie Senior plays, and that's really our jazz nights, and we keep harvesting that and making sure that we can still provide that even with the change in Lodo, making it a little hard. And Freddie's just a ton of fun with it. And then, of course,
and by the way, he's sounding really good these days, too.
Yeah, he's
better
great.
Than ever, yeah.
He sounds great. He's just really fun to have there. And then, of course, Billy Tolles.
Billy Tolles.
Was there for many a year.
Yeah.
And boy, was that fun, you know, what a firecracker of a personality between him and my dad, you know.
A nice round of applause for everybody up here. Paul Romaine on drums. Ken Walker on bass. Eric Gunnison at the piano. Yours truly, Billy Tolles, right here on saxophone. We're right here at El Chapultepec for your musical pleasure every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening. Yeah, play the tunes that you love, some that we love, and some that nobody did. But you can't win them all, you know.
We've had Gene Bass there for a long time.
Homer Brown.
That ran. Homer Brown was there for a long time. Yeah.
Do you recall in the early 90s, we used to do our Thursday night broadcast from there?
Yeah.
Every Thursday, mm-hmm. starting at 9 o'clock, 9 to 11. And the format was Freddie Rodriguez would start up and introduce the guys playing behind him. I'd play about two songs, and then he would bring out the guest.
Right.
Because your dad would bring in all of these musicians.
Oh, and, you know, it was a different time then. We could bring in these, you know, real heavy hitters because they were in town playing for, you know, the Paramount, for all these things.
Yeah.
And they could come in. Mm-hmm. All we had to do was change their flight and book a room.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had an amazing gig. And plus, it was more of a friendly level than, you know, a professional level. My dad was friends with all these people. And
he had his favorites, too. I know he really dug Eddie Harris.
Oh, Eddie Harris. And I don't know if you guys are follow our Facebook, but we just had a picture on there of you know, Eddie Harris playing. Red Holloway was certainly one of the favorites.
Was another one. Dakota.
Dakota. Oh, she was hilarious, too. She was really a blast. I loved it when she came to town. Pete and Connie Condoli.
Yeah.
I always called them uncles because you couldn't help to, you know, bring them into your family. They were such hearty people. They were really great to have around.
Ricky Woodard.
You know, in those days, there were some really young kids that turned into fascinating musicians now. Javon Jackson, Brad Lely, Marcellus,
all the kids
family
who grew up, some in Denver, and obviously, like you said, mentioned the Marcellus family. A lot of musicians used to come in and just sit in. There were some memorable moments at El Chapultepec one night with Harry Connick Jr. and Charles Brown, both together sitting at the piano together. That's unbelievable who you'd run into.
And the funny thing is, well, Harry Connick was a little iconic, so people recognized him. But the best part was, most of the time, you know, people had no idea who these guys were.
And yeah.
One of my favorite stories, some people said that, you know, you share a booth because it's such a cramped space. And they were sitting across the table from a guy, and he ate his burrito, and he was having a good time and paid, you know, his tab. And then he says, well, I guess me and Lucille better get to work. And they were sitting across the table from B.B. King the whole time. I had no idea, you know. So
the El Chapultepec was a special place. Lots of characters coming through there. Lots of wild things that happened there. And, of course, your dad was quite the character as well and quite the personality. Well, what's one of your favorite things that might have happened?
One of my favorite things. Well, we all know that he liked to throw a punch, so I have plenty of memories of him taking care of rough customers, you know. And I'd always, you know, he'd know something was going on, they'd shoot me in the back, but I could hear it most of the time, so that always kind of gives me a chuckle, especially this small little stature, you know.
Yeah.
There's two things that stick out. The first one is the way that he treated people was he didn't care if you had, you know, if you owned the White House or, you know, if you were...
Or the outhouse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, he treated you the same. And that's something that I've really grown up learning and respecting is that, you know, it's not what people have. It's, you know, how they carry themselves and how they respect people. And so...
You could have a United States senator standing next to a person who was practically homeless. If that person they conducted themselves in a respectable manner, and they had the money to pay for a drink.
Yeah, they got their drink minimum. Don't leave that out.
Yeah, they had. It was good. It was good. Didn't matter who you were.
Right.
Like I said, you saw, you know, from celebrities to bums standing next to each other, and they treated them the same.
And I think that's what, you know, his whole mantra was, is that he wanted to bring jazz into the community because it's not always, you know, high class thing. It's the music is for everybody, and that's generally what it is. And that's why, you know, it's the no cover charge, first come, first serve. And that's the idea behind it. And that's what really, you know, Angela tries to keep going down there is bringing music to everybody. And it's fun when you see someone who's never experienced live music before that personal, because as we all know, the stage is, you know, 30 feet away at the furthest.
Wow.
So
80 years of El Chapultepec, that's just amazing. Your dad started jazz there, I think, in about 81 with Freddie Rodriguez. I think one of your dad's favorite moments was when he, when the guys from U2 came down there, Bono.
The funny part about this happening is you never knew who was in the club,
right?
You know, who was there. And so I may be wrong, but there was a newspaper columnist, and I believe it was Norm Provisor, that was sitting in the booth, you know, closest to the door when it all happened. So next thing you know, it's published, you know, in the morning news. But basically the doorman says, I have a couple people at the door and the girls don't have IDs, and they wanted to talk to you, Jerry. So of course he doesn't want to get out from behind the bar. That pisses him off right away, you know. So he comes over and he says, you know, what's going on over here? And they said, well, you know, we all want to come in, but the girls don't have IDs. And he says, well, no ID, you don't come in. Have a nice night. And starts to walk away. And they said, well, we're you too. He says, yeah, you too, and you two bimbos can get out of here. And he goes back. He had no idea who you two was. You know, yeah. Pop culture was never his thing. He liked he liked old fashioned. And
they had come out back from down from a Red Rock show. And had a big white limousine stretched out there on Market, and thought they were going to get celebrity treatment, which they were getting all over town, but they just ran into the wrong, came to the wrong place and ran into the wrong guy.
Well, they
you
never came back.
You twos, get out of here. Great memories, Anna.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things. And, you know, the change in the neighborhood has brought about a change in the club, and certainly we can't do straight ahead jazz every night of the week, because it's disrespectful to the music when you have, you know, a sports crowd, you know, screaming over your bass solo, right? And so we have to be sensitive to that. And so we have we still are supporting jazz as much as possible, and with Freddie, and making sure that the nights that we pick are good. We have Tony Black down there quite often that plays too. And then we have a lot of blues and funk to fill in, you know, with the rowdier crowds, and they really appreciate that, and it really works out. So, you know, we just like to keep things going.
Yeah, well, keep it going, because it's got a lasting legacy in this community, El Chapultepec. So it's good to see Anna.
Yeah, thanks for having us again.
You're welcome.
They serve good food and jazz, and they treat you right. Once you get to the place, you want to stay all night. If you want to have some fun, don't mind standing around. Go on down by the 20th and Market, the El Chapultepec Lounge.